The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hi there, and welcome to Grace Evangelical Society's podcast broadcast ministry called Grace in Focus. This week, we are back in our Romans flyover series with Ken Yates and Catherine Wright. Today, we're looking at Romans 9, verses 10 through 13. Does God really choose certain individuals to be saved or lost before they're even born? By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org. And find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are father-daughter duo, Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
Last podcast, we saw where God chose Isaac instead of Ishmael. And what we argued was that this is not a choosing for eternal salvation, but a choosing of the one through whom the Abrahamic blessings would come, and particularly the promised Messiah.
Mm-hmm. And Genesis 12.
Genesis 12, 3, exactly. When we get to verses 10 through 12, Paul discusses Isaac and Esau. These are favorite verses of people who believe in predestination, which is the view that God chose in eternity past, before anyone was born, who would go to heaven and who would not go to heaven. In these verses, Paul is discussing how God chose Jacob over Esau. Verse 10, he says, and not only this, but when Rebekah, that's the mother of Jacob and Esau, also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. And here's where it gets interesting, verse 11, for the children, talking about the twins, not yet born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older, which is Esau, shall serve the younger, as it is written, and this is God speaking, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And so
God hates people
before
they're even born.
There you go. And you've got the word election in here, which is a favorite of those who believe in predestination, that God elects who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. It has nothing to do with anything that they do. And if God hates you and does not elect you, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire.
And he chose that. Even before you were born.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because this is how he chose Jacob. Before the kids were born, God did that. And so we have to deal with this issue. And what we've already argued is that the election in chapter 9 here is not talking about election to eternal life. It is talking about electing people or choosing people through whom God is going to work, through whom God is going to fulfill the promises. And we can see this through the nation of Israel. God, of all the nations in the world, chose Israel to be his chosen people. That does not mean that if you were not in Israel, you couldn't be saved. And it did not mean that if you were in the nation of Israel, you were automatically saved. There were many people in the nation who were not believers. There were those outside of the nation who were believers. And we saw this in the last podcast, that God chose Isaac over Ishmael, but that doesn't mean Ishmael was not saved. The Messiah was going to come through Isaac. And we see the same thing here. God elected Jacob. He chose Jacob. What does that mean? He was going to be the father of the nation of Israel, and through that nation, the Messiah was going to be born. Esau was not chosen for that purpose. But that does not mean he was not saved.
Eternal life is not mentioned here at all. He's not even talking about justification even.
Right.
What is he talking about in terms of what the Lord is choosing? Well, it says here in verse 12 that the older shall serve the younger. That's what's going on here, is that Esau is, and by Esau, I think it's speaking of Edom.
Right, his nation.
His nation
right.
is going to be inferior. They're going to be in service to the nation of Israel. That's the election that's being discussed here, not election to eternal life.
And there were people in Edom that were saved.
Yeah.
And there were people in Israel that were not saved.
Who were not, yeah. Again, we've said it, but just to reiterate, these men represent their nations.
Right.
They are the heads of their nations. And so they represent these corporate entities. And which nation did God choose to fulfill these promises through? It was going to be through Isaac and not Esau.
Now, you mentioned before we started talking that there's a passage in Luke
yeah.
that deals with this, because a lot of people will get to verse 13 and go, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. And they say, oh man, God, before Esau was even born,
mm-hmm.
before Esau did anything, God hated him and condemned him to hell.
Yeah, and when you think about the character of God, we know that he is love. And so to say that hate means that he despised him just before he was even conceived, or you know, before he was born, and that he had decided that this person was going to go to hell, is just contradictory to the character of God. I just wanted to say that. But
and I would also say, Paul says here, before they had done any works.
Yeah.
Now, someone would say, well, he knew what works he would do. But the implication is, it had nothing to do with what kind of life he was going to live.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been a good man, tried his best, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
God just hated him. And
there was nothing he could do. He was going to go to hell.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's contradictory again to, I think, what we see of the character of God. And I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about that too, that in this passage, we see the faithfulness of the Lord to his promises to Abraham, that he is going to fulfill his promises to the nation of Israel as well. But on that word hated, in Luke chapter 14, when the Lord is speaking to the disciples, he says, if you want to be his disciple, if you want to come after him, you need to hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children. It's the same idea there. What does it mean for us to hate our parents or to hate our spouse? Obviously, the Lord doesn't mean literally despise people. In fact, we're told to honor our parents. Husbands are called to love their wives. And so what does it mean to hate in that context? I think it means simply, who's the priority? Who are you going to choose, if you will, in terms of your priority? In this case, is it going to be putting Christ above your parents or Christ above your spouse? So who are you going to prioritize? A similar concept is here. It's not that God hated Esau. It's that he put Jacob as the priority, or, you know, who are you going to choose for this specific job again? I think that we see this concept of hate versus love. We tend to, I think, maybe or just culturally or just, you know, when we're reading this, we think of that as a more of an emotional thing, whereas scripture sometimes uses these terms as a way to show priority or prominence. And I think in both of these passages, we see that idea. In discipleship, who's the priority, your parents or Christ? And then in this context, whom did the Lord choose to be in the line of the Messiah? Well, it was going to be Isaac and then later Jacob.
Yeah, the way someone told me years ago is, when it comes to the devotion of the disciple towards Christ, everything else is hated. When you compare it to my devotion to Christ, how can I compare other things in my life?
Mm-hmm.
If they get in my way of my devotion to Christ,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah.
And I would also say very simplistically that John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, that includes Esau. Obviously, when we say, well, Jacob I've loved and Esau I hated, we have to say, okay, this is a figure of speech or a comparison, as you're talking about.
Yeah.
I would also say that, in my very strong opinion, Esau will be in the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Now, there are some good people who say, well, we don't know. I think we do. But even if we say we don't know, then obviously this thing that God hated Esau, therefore he's going to be in hell, that's not true.
Yeah.
He may very well have been a believer, and I think he was. And that is based upon Hebrews chapter 12. But even before we look at Hebrews chapter 12, we need to remember that Esau knew about the coming Messiah. He knew about the promise. He knew about the birthright. It's just that he sold it for a meal. But then he wanted it back. Mm-hmm. And we also need to remember that Isaac blessed him.
I always find it interesting when I'm reading through those accounts of the twins, because of the two of them, I think Esau sounds like the nicer guy. I mean, Jacob literally goes down in history as the deceiver. I mean, he's such a lying little...
Esau comes across as a good old boy.
Yeah, especially when they reunite, and he's so gracious and so loving towards his twin. And I find that, you know, a lot of people will give Esau a bad rep when sometimes Jacob deserves a little bit of a bad rep. But
and I would also say that that goes in line with what Paul's saying. God chooses people, mm-hmm. not for heaven or hell, but through whom he's going to work, the channel from which he's going to bless the world. Mm-hmm. And this is the nation was going to come through. And it has nothing to do with works.
Yeah.
Well, we hope that cleared up a little bit of misconception on what predestination means and what it means that God hated Esau. We hope you've enjoyed this. And remember, keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, did God harden Pharaoh's heart, or did Pharaoh harden his own heart? Both are true. Which happened first? This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.